You're listening to a podcast from York City Church. If you like what you hear and you'd like to find out more, please visit our website at www.yorkcitychurch.org.uk.
Now, Millie, you know Millie.
Hello.
We know Millie. Wave to your people. Wave to your people. There they are. So they're all looking. Have you taken notes, guys?
You need are to be. You?
Yeah,
Bella. Good job, Bella.
Yes, Bella.
Nice.
You need to take notes when you need to give her a feedback session in your next youth thing, yeah? If you don't know Millie, Millie is our youth pastor, and Millie is wonderful and a gift. We went through a long process of advertising and interviewing people, and Millie has proved to be, and it was a tough process, wasn't it? I mean, it wasn't like, do you want the job? Go on then.
It was brutal.
Yeah. But Millie has proved to be above and beyond what we had hoped for. She's just brilliant. I can say that she's not only a fantastic youth pastor, but she's a brilliant like workmate. She's a superb friend. She's got a brilliant sense of humour. She's amazing. She's a servant. And I just think, like, God just blessed us massively. You know, we prayed a long time for a youth worker, and God must have been storing it up big time for us, because we've got Millie, which is amazing. So because I know that she's a prayer and a worshipper, and she loves the Word of God, and she loves the people of God, I thought, who better to ask to come and speak to us on one of these mini preach Sundays? So Millie, the floor is yours, girl. Take it away.
Thank you very much, Al. So very, very brief sort of 10-second intro. I'm the youth pastor. I'm Millie. I used to live in Teesside, and I relocated to York for the job in September. And I have the joy of serving our young people and orchestrating all sorts of kinds of chaos. If you're around at Christmas, you'll remember that very well. Now, I did think, when Al asked me to do this, what about I do like a 10-point sermon, where every single point has some sort of alliteration, you know, which we often find. And instead I thought, that's maybe a bit much. So I come to you today not with a story or a three-point sermon, but with a prophetic encouragement. 10 minutes is not so long, so we're just going to launch straight into things. Back in February, we were focusing on the prayer of Ephesians 3 as a church, in which Paul encourages the Ephesians to remember God's limitless power, love and grace in their lives. You might remember that we planted some sunflower seeds as part of this. Does anyone still have theirs, out of curiosity? Oh, wonderful, a few people. Well, I tried to repot mine, and it was this wonderful grand ceremony, and as soon as I put it in the soil, the stem completely snapped in half. So, you know, it happens. But as we were going through this verse of the verses of Ephesians chapter 3, I felt really drawn to verses 20 to 21, which are up on the screens. Paul recognizes the miraculous power of Christ and the unobstructed nature of the Holy Spirit that we're gifted in our lives as believers. And I began to notice the Holy Spirit calling my attention to the immeasurably more of these verses. It continued to rest on me, and the Lord spoke to me again about it in March. And I went on retreat, and I was praying over our youth and the wider community. And after much prayer and discussing this word with leadership, I'm going to share it all with you today and to give you the opportunity to respond. As part of my retreat, I walked up to Lordstones, part of the Cleveland Hills. Is anyone familiar? Anyone been there before? Oh, okay. That's fine. Great. So I got to the top of the hill, which you can see on the top left and bottom right photographs. And I looked out into the direction of the North Sea. And all I could see was this really, really thick sea fog. Okay. And it was so dense that the horizon, which is normally out to the sea and you can see far beyond into the distance, was so much closer, and it seemed to stop at the industrial works on the top right. And that's where the River Tees sort of turns into an estuary, and so you're naturally following this line of like a broadened horizon. The boundary before me, between sky and land, was completely blurred, and the horizon seemed to have moved miles and miles inland. It looked like that was where the world just ended. Had I no knowledge that there was something lying beyond? If you've ever gone on a large walk or been to the Cleveland Hills, you know, factually, on a perfectly clear day, you can see all the way from where you stand to the shoreline of the sea. You can see the real horizon. And I knew that the fog in front of me was not the end of the horizon, but it just appeared that way. And I was thinking this over and I was praying, and I felt that this was where the Spirit started to speak to me and to us as a community. I heard him say that what he is currently working out in our lives and community is not the horizon or the limit of what he is doing and he's capable of. I felt him say that there is more for us to seek and experience of his nature that may be outside the boundaries we've set ourselves or that we can currently see. There is more for us to seek and experience of his nature. And I wonder if in the past, you know, through whatever experience, we've only asked God for things that are within the comfortable, predictable borders, you know, that we've created for him to operate in. Or have we kept our expectations of what he can do small to avoid being let down? Or maybe we're resisting where God might stretch our faith and take us somewhere we don't perhaps feel ready for. Lately, Al has been encouraging us to own our identity as charismatic, spirit-filled people, seeking and eagerly desiring spiritual gifts so that we can build up one another and know the refreshing of God's heart for us as his people. But this requires a level of surrendering ourselves to being open to the more of God's Spirit and his miraculous nature. And I believe that God is calling us to a place of greater expectation. And I've been learning this also, navigating what I've put up borders or boundaries around what I'm comfortable or what I think God might do in my life. And as with every prophetic word God has given me in the past, he gives me the opportunity to put it into practice and to switch my mindset about who I think he is. And this is really scary. It challenges our natural doubts and puts our faith to the test. I've asked permission before I share these next testimonies. So conveniently, while God was putting these verses of Ephesians 3:20-21 on my heart, Enrica rolled her ankle. And she rolled it quite badly before the day of our staff meeting. She had to get a taxi into work because she couldn't easily walk. And as a staff team, we finished our prayers, and the Spirit nudged me, really annoyingly, to pray for healing out of an Ephesians 3 attitude. My stomach dropped. I mean, can anyone guess what I was thinking? You know, what if you don't heal her? Will you really do that? What if I look like a fool if I pray and nothing happens? But God told me to do something. And knowing that his Spirit is within me means he can do immeasurably more than I can ask or imagine when I believe in him. So, and the worst part was we were just about to leave the room. And I said, okay, I think God wants me to pray for Enrica's ankle. After the first prayer, she felt marginally better. Result, I don't need to pray anymore. No. The Spirit told me, keep going. 3 times we prayed, and after the third, Enrica's ankle was completely healed. That wasn't the end of it all. As if God knew the doubt might creep back in, we had the Holy Spirit Day in youth in Alpha. And one of our youth had a shoulder injury. And I felt God say, oh, didn't I heal Enrica's ankle, you know, the other week? And I thought, okay, God, you can do something else here. So encouraged, I said to our youth, let's pray for healing. Let's gather around. It doesn't matter what you're feeling. It doesn't matter the doubts you have. Let's pray. God might do something. I can confirm that their shoulder is now completely healed. God moved. Not only did our young people step out of their comfort zone, God surprised them when they did. And he reminded all of us in that room that it is by his power that we see our expectations exceeded and faith raised. It is glory to him who can do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine. When we allow God to push our expectations beyond what we're used to or comfortable with, we give him the opportunity to show us what he's capable of and just how much more he can do for those who believe. You might be sitting here thinking, Millie, we get the point. However, this sense of us expecting more wasn't the end of what I felt God was saying to me. I didn't feel the same nudge to share the word on a Sunday morning or the testimonies. And so instead, I just continued to pray and seek his voice, just in case I'd also miss out. And the rest of this word came much later while again praying as a staff team. And while we were praying, I felt God remind me that this building, once belonging to the Salvation Army, was historically a place marked by going out into the city, bringing in the lost to experience the love of Jesus. And this has been a huge influence in the life of this church and how we love other people and show them the heart of Jesus. And yet God showed me a vivid picture of this being built upon even more, beyond what we see currently. And if you know anything about what happens here at midweek, you'll probably know I was slightly taken aback when God said this, because we already do so much for him and for other people. And while mulling this over, I had a vision of all of us as a community standing at the distant shoreline I had seen a few weeks before. And ahead of us was a brand new, vast horizon. And we were looking towards this huge, huge sea, full of excitement and also uncertainty. I saw old wooden naval ships being sent out with the purpose of navigating into deep, unknown waters to a horizon that we could only dream of. There was this sense that this wasn't just to explore what lay ahead, but to go to dark places and bring home the lost to here. A place of sanctuary and belonging, where the tangible love of Jesus is found. We were shifting from being a place where people came in to a place marked by going out and pushing into areas we just assumed weren't for us. Isaiah 6:8 came to mind, where God asks him who he shall send to be his messenger of repentance to a rebellious kingdom of Judah. And Isaiah replies in quite a desperate courage, "Here I am, send me." He recognized that the Spirit of God was within him and had the courage to step into God's plan for his world. He chose to go into his nation, preaching God's words, calling people out of sin and into relationship with God. Though his calling was beyond him, God's gift of grace available to us all was enough to carry him into the unknown. He partnered with God, his vision expanded, and his expectations lifted. I sense God asking again, are we willing to believe that he will do more than we ask or imagine of him within us and ahead of us? It's a challenge to step beyond comfort and take ownership of this Spirit-filled life and move into new territory, but it is doable with him. Like Jonah, who we're currently studying, which is no coincidence, he was someone who ran from God's call to go to Nineveh, his enemy's city, and proclaim imminent destruction. You don't do that to your enemies, even on a really, really good day. He didn't feel equipped, despite being chosen by God. And after back and forth and, you know, crying out to God about how he was feeling and how ill-equipped he believed he was, he eventually surrendered and accepted his mission. He found his expectations completely overturned. Nineveh repented and was not destroyed. That is a spoiler, I do apologize. Jonah was shown the immeasurably more that God could do when he partnered with him. Dreaming beyond what we're used to in our individual and corporate life, it can be a scary thing. It really, really can. But I believe today that God wants to lift the fog and show us that there is more to experience in our walk with him as spirit-filled people and in the contexts we often find ourselves in, even in the everyday. This might feel uncomfortable for some of us, and as I said, that's fine. God knows where each of you are in your faith. And he's loving in the way he deals with and how he cares for us. But there is still safety in his arms that beckon you to take new steps. As I close, I encourage you to reflect on the following questions and wonder where God might be leading you. Do we feel tired or afraid? Holding back because stepping beyond a current horizon feels too much? Do we feel discouraged from past steps of faith and are holding back our dreams to avoid maybe being hurt or let down? Are some of us beginning to understand our gifts and the spirit that is within us? And we're maybe a bit tentative about what lies beyond, but we're peeking over. Or are we hungry for more? Are we ready to step out, to go deeper into the unknown and discover what God has waiting for us? I'm going to close us in prayer, and we do have the prayer team on hand today if anyone would like to respond to anything all three of us have said. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you do more than we could ever ask or imagine. Lord, that you are the author of dreams so big and unthinkable. Lord, thank you, Lord, that you lead us. Lord, that you go before us. Lord, you scout out the area ahead. Lord, for those of us who feel bound up, Lord, and like taking a step is just too much, Lord, I pray that you release just the binds, Lord, of fear. Lord, for those of us who are wanting to go up to that horizon and see what's beyond, Lord, will you give us more courage? Lord, remind us that it is in your strength and power, Lord, that we see miracles happen. Lord, for those of us who are just raring to go and sail on those ships, Lord, will you encourage us to take people with us, Father? Will you cover us in your mercy? Lord, refresh us with your Holy Spirit and be with us as we go from this place. Amen. Thank you.